Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is Tailgate Till May, part of the Belief Podcast Network. If you love college sports and you like to have a little action on the games, then this is the place for you because I'm your host, Stephen Gorgi, and I love both of those things too. You can find me on social media, X, formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all at the same handle, at Gorg on Sports. Hit me up there. And I want you to be a part of the show, and the best way to do it is to hit me up on social media. All right, I'm back. It's another Monday episode, so it's going to be a bit more of a big picture episode rather than going in detail of the games of the weekend. And I want to talk about a few big picture topics today. But before I do that, I do want to give a quick update on how week 11 went for me from a gambling perspective. And it was another really good week, really buoyed by hitting the money line parlay of the week, which was Texas Tech, Missouri, and UCF, an 11-1 money line parlay that hit on the week. I was up just over 7 units. On my week 0 through 11 bets, I'm up just over 21 units. So having a really good season right now, buoyed by that money line parlay there, and then starting to get a lot of futures coming in. So did a ton of futures before the season, down just almost a unit on future bets, but have some really big ones out there, some high odds Heisman ones, most notably Bo Nix, who's now the favorite to win the Heisman. If you, a lot of the places you look, I think on FanDuel, he's minus 110. I also have a Michael Penix one, and he's right there below him. The guy that would blow things up for me majorly would be Jaden Daniels winning the Heisman, and he has looked really, really good recently. An unbelievable week for him, and he's right in there in the competition. But the Bo Nix 30-1 bet that I made right after the Washington game is the one that I would really like to hit. So looking to finish out the season strong and just keep that chart going up and to the right. But let's get into some big picture things here. The first big picture thing I want to get into is a thought from the weekend, from the actual games themselves this weekend. And going into week 11, I was starting to feel like Michigan and Georgia and a few other teams, but really Michigan and Georgia were starting to separate themselves as the top two. I think there's a few other teams that are right there in contention, but Michigan and Georgia have started to separate themselves as the top two teams in the country. And I bet on both of those teams this past weekend. They both won, they both covered, and I feel even more so coming out of that weekend like those are the clear-cut top two teams in the country. What Michigan did to Penn State was just a destruction. And the fact that they did not have to throw a pass in the second half of that game speaks to just how physical Michigan is and how much they can out physical a team like Penn State, just embarrass a team like Penn State. It was an impressive performance by Michigan. It was maybe not the highlight reel performance that some wanted to see from JJ McCarthy, but he didn't have to do that. They were able to rush for 227 yards on the ground. Blake Corum led the way for them, and they were able to just run it down Penn State's throat. And on the defensive side of the ball, Penn State never looked like they were a threat to Michigan in any way, shape, or form. So I continue to be very encouraged by Michigan. And then from a Georgia perspective, Georgia gets Brock Bowers back and they dominate Ole Miss. And Ole Miss is a team that, you know, they came into the game 8-1. They came into the game as a top 10 team. But I think people who are really paying attention would tell you they never really felt like a top 10 team. They never really felt like a top 10 team to me. Georgia wins that game 52-17. And really, even though Ole Miss got up early 7-0, it was never a game where I really felt like the result was in question. Much like the Michigan-Penn State game, there was never a moment in that game where I really thought that Penn State might win. There was never a moment in this game where I felt like Ole Miss might win. And Georgia gains over 600 yards in this game, nearly doubles up Ole Miss. And when you look at Georgia, I think that offense is... we have to start saying this is a legitimately good offense. I feel like this has happened each of the past couple years with Georgia, where we look at their offense and we look at Georgia and we're like, defense, defense, defense. And then you kind of look around and realize, oh, that offense is pretty good too, actually. And Carson Beck, I think, is now starting to really be a quarterback who's not just along for the ride, but he's a guy who's legitimately a part of the reason why they are winning some of these games. 72% completion percentage on the year, 18 touchdowns to 5 interceptions, and he has been good for them, downright good for them at the quarterback spot. And now that they have Brock Bowers back, that's a huge boon. They have Ladd McConkey, who, you know, he hasn't been hurt in a while, but he started the year hurt. He's rounding into form. They have weapons. They are looking really good, and they seem to have this ability to just turn things up when they need to turn things up. And I'm very interested and very excited for that SEC championship game against Alabama, because this will be the fourth time that Alabama and Georgia have met in the SEC championship game in the last 6 seasons. And although Georgia's won a couple national titles during that time, including one over Alabama, they haven't beaten Alabama in an SEC championship game yet. So this will be something, an opportunity for Kirby Smart to check just one more thing off that checkbox. You would think, you know, given all the success that they've had, that they would have gotten that done, because you remember that national championship game, but that was the rematch in 2021 after Alabama surprised them and beat them in Atlanta in the SEC championship game. Last year, Georgia beat LSU. So this is still something for, I wouldn't call it a hump. I wouldn't call it, you know, it's just a box to check. It's a box to check for Georgia Bulldog fans who have gotten everything they could possibly want in the past couple years. If the baton hasn't been passed from Alabama to Georgia already, and I don't know how you could say it hasn't, this would be the final passing of the baton from dynasty to dynasty. If Georgia can beat Alabama in the SEC championship game, give them their first SEC title win over Alabama in this era here, in this Kirby Smart, Nick Saban era, and then go on to win back-to-back-to-back national titles, which is something that Alabama and Nick Saban hasn't done either, that would be the final passing of the baton. I believe the baton has already been passed, but this would just be the absolute, no doubt about it, final passing here. So I am looking forward to that game immensely, because Alabama is really rounding into form. So I think Georgia and Michigan have really separated themselves as the top two in the country. And then there is this group right below Michigan and Georgia that I think includes Ohio State. I think it includes Florida State. I think it includes Oregon. And I think it includes Alabama. You then have another group that I think is right below that includes Texas and Washington. And in that second group, those are teams that seem like they are just a step below. They just need like one thing here or there to go right, to be right on that Georgia and Michigan tier, but it hasn't necessarily all gone right to this point. I think they have more question marks than Michigan and Georgia do. And then in that third tier with Texas and Washington, I think those teams are teams that have very elite aspects to them. Texas, that defensive line for Texas is unreal. That offense, that receiving core for Washington is unbelievable. Michael Penix is a great quarterback. But for Texas, for three quarters the past couple weeks, they have looked like a national championship caliber team. And then they have let teams back into the game when they've started throwing the ball a lot. So I'm a little concerned about that Texas secondary. I think if they find a way to get it together, if they find a way to start finishing games and really putting teams away, then I would bump them up. But for now, I think they are a very, very good team. I think if they can finish this regular season 11-1, that would be super impressive from Steve Sarkisian and the Texas Longhorns. But at this point, despite thinking they had the ingredients, and I still think they have the ingredients, I thought so earlier in the year, that's why I put a national championship bet down on them. I'm worried about that secondary, and I'm worried about how they continuously let teams back into games. And that's going to be something to watch down the stretch here. From a Washington perspective, another team that I've loved all year long, look, the offense is great. That defense has just not been good enough. And they did make some adjustments and they did shut down Utah in the second half of that game. But Utah went wild on them in the first half. And we haven't seen that Utah offense go wild on anybody. So that is why I kind of put Texas and Washington in the third tier there behind Ohio State, Oregon, and Alabama. And the beauty of this is that we are going to get to see a lot of these teams play each other. We're going to see Michigan, Ohio State. We're going to see Georgia, Alabama. We're likely going to see Oregon and Washington. We are going to see a lot of this play out over the next 3 weeks. So what does this all mean from a gambling perspective? How can we use this information and try to make a little bit of money off of it? What am I going to be doing to try to make money on this tiering that I've just done where I said Michigan and Georgia are the clear top two. Then there's a group of a couple teams behind them. Then there's a third tier behind them. Well, the one thing that I have already done is I'm looking at some of these look ahead lines here. And the one that caught my eye is Michigan, Ohio State in the Big House. And I was able to grab this one. I think you can assume I'm going Michigan in this one. And I was able to grab Michigan -5.5 against Ohio State on FanDuel. Michigan is the home team in this game. Michigan is the home team in this game. And I think Michigan is a clear tier ahead of Ohio State. If you look at SP Plus, Bill Connolly's advanced analytics on ESPN.com, he would have that as like a touchdown. Michigan is a touchdown favorite at home in that game. It would be about 4.5 points on a neutral field. And I think that's about right. I would make that a little higher. I think I would have made it about Michigan -7.5 at home. I just think Ohio State is not going to be able to do. Ohio State is, to me, the way they've changed this year, where their offense is not quite as explosive and they're a defensive-oriented team, to me, they seem like a version of Michigan that is just not quite as good as Michigan. And I don't think they can run the ball the way Michigan has. Now, they obviously have Marvin Harrison, and that is something that they can try to rely on in that game. But I don't think they can out-Michigan Michigan. And as good as Ohio State's defense has been, I trust Michigan's offense to run the ball and control that game. I really like Michigan at anything under a touchdown here. So I snapped up Michigan -5.5. From a national championship perspective, there's not a ton of good value out there. If you like Georgia, if you like Michigan, those are the two favorites. On DraftKings, Michigan's +210, Georgia's +240. On FanDuel, I think it's about the same. Michigan +220, Georgia +250. But if you are somebody, and I think a lot of people, myself included, are, think that Oregon is right there behind these teams. Oregon has the quarterback. Their defense has looked good. They've only gotten better and better since that Washington game. They seem to have that killer instinct. They seem like they can play a variety of styles, whether it's the shootout, a shootout type game against USC, or a physical game with Utah. They seem like they have a lot of those ingredients. Oregon at 9-1 to win the national championship, I think is worth a look. It's tough. It's a tough pill to swallow because I talked about this right after the Washington game and you could have gotten it at 33-1. And that is a really tough pill to swallow there. But I think for Oregon to be behind Alabama, to be behind Ohio State, I don't know about that. I would on a neutral field, I would make Oregon a favorite over Alabama. I would make Oregon a favorite over Ohio State on a neutral field. I think I would make them a favorite over Florida State on a neutral field. So if I was power rating this thing, I actually rate Oregon as the third best team in the country. And for them to have the, I don't know, sixth or so best odds, it makes sense to some extent because they already have the one loss, but they're going to have that game against Washington, most likely, in the Pac-12 championship game. And I don't see any way, if they win that game, they get left out of a college football playoff. I think they would be in over a one-loss Texas team because they're already ahead of Texas in the CFP rankings, and there's not a game on Texas's schedule that can compare to the Washington game. So I think Oregon is in great shape, and I am going to go ahead and I'm going to put a half unit down on Oregon to win the national championship at 9-1. Now, I have a lot of national title bets out there now. I have Michigan, I have Texas, and now I'm going to have Oregon. I'm kind of just circling the drain around Georgia, and it's a little bit of a dangerous spot to be in because I do think Georgia is one of the two best teams in the country. I just don't see a lot of value out there on Georgia right now. Now is not the time that I really want to be going in on Georgia. But what I am going to look at is Georgia in the SEC championship game. That's -4.5 right now. I'm not sure that I want to do that quite yet. Got to look at it a little bit more, but I'm going to be looking for ways to invest with Georgia, even if it's not necessarily on their national championship odds. The other big picture topic that I got to get to today is all the coaching activity, all the coaching moves going on, headlined by the big one, Jimbo Fisher being fired by Texas A&M on a Sunday. That really kind of kicked off this coaching hot seat season in earnest. There's some other stuff going on too with Andy Avalos being fired by Boise State. Penn State gets rid of their offensive coordinator. San Diego State, Brady Hoke set to retire at the end of the season. And what I want to talk about in regard to this, there's a million things to talk about with the A&M thing, but for this show, I want to talk about how this impacts things from a gambling perspective, because you're going to hear a lot of people make proclamations, whether it's, oh, they're going to be inspired by this change. You know, an interim coach comes in, it provides a little bit of a bump. It provides some motivation, or you'll hear people say they have nothing left to play for. They're going to be, you know, down with their coach leaving, nothing left to play for, thinking about the transfer portal, where they're going to go next, etc. The bottom line is you don't know how a team is going to respond when a coach gets fired, when a coach leaves, whatever the case may be. You do not know. You can try to predict it, but we're dealing with uncertainty here. We're dealing with human emotions. And I think when you're gambling, that's something you want to take out of the equation. So I'm not going to try to forecast and predict what's going to happen, what the emotions of the Texas A&M team are going to be with Jimbo Fisher getting fired. That's not something I'm super interested in doing. So for me, it's kind of a stay away from those teams. I got burned by it a little bit when Arkansas fired their offensive coordinator a couple weeks ago. I said they had to prove it to me that they could do anything offensively. And you know what? They did. They beat and covered against Florida. So I got burned there a little bit. So with these coaching changes, I'm going to try to just stay away from them and take out some of the, I don't want that uncertainty. Uncertainty is not something you want when it comes to gambling. So those are my big picture thoughts on a Monday after week 11. I will be back later this week to preview week 12 in college football. Wow, we are almost there, just a couple weeks left in the regular season. So let's make it count. We also got a lot of hoops going on. The Champions Classic tomorrow night always a big event. So stay tuned to my Twitter account at Gorgon Sports. I'll put out some picks there tomorrow with how I'm going to bet the Champions Classic, and then do some reaction to the Champions Classic when we preview week 12 as well. That's our show for today. Until next time, keep the grill hot and the cooler cold.